reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 11. Remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God.
This, St. Andrew's, is God's word. A year ago, someone who had been previously involved in a well-known faith community, I won't mention its name, but you can probably figure it out, there's a bit of abuse and issues going on there. She said, I think I finally figured out about how you and Jason and Bible messages. And I was like, yeah. She said, you just teach the Bible. And I was like, yeah. I don't know what she meant. And then she said, well, in the previous place that she was at, that she said, this is my recollection. She didn't actually use these literal words, but this was the upshot of it. She was here for a season, and she said there's usually was deeper agendas, hidden agendas that were often going underneath the surface with the Bible teaching. And she said, I've just figured it out. You're just working through a book of the Bible, and it's just the next text. And I go, yeah, that's pretty much it. Except for today. Today, there is an agenda. And so I think if there is one, it should be noted up front so it's not a hidden agenda. So the St. Andrew's session, particularly the elders on the finance team, and Chad said, Alistair, we need a message on giving. Then looked at me. Hint, hint, is what happened. So I'm not Chad Tozer, so he heads now the finance team, so I'll let him at his convenience fill in the details. But basically, while we aren't doing terribly, I think it would make Chad's and the finance team's life easier if our giving went up, which is, so fair enough, they wanted me to give a message on it. But I think it should be good to have some disclaimers then. If this is probably one of the only messages I've given on giving, because I hate giving messages on giving. So I've managed to avoid it for many years, woo-hoo to me. But today, my luck has run out. So here we go, some disclaimers. If you aren't a Christian or you're here and your spirit speak, well, please don't give. So actually, I just gave this disclaimer at the first service. A person came up to me. He said, Alistair, for 20 years I've been wanting my brother to come to church. 20 years praying, and then it was at an Auckland church up in Auckland, and finally he got his brother to turn up to church. The entire service and everything was this high pressure thing to give. He was like, no! So if you're rocking up today as a spiritual seeker, not a Christian, it's like rude to turn up and feel like you're obligated to give. I mean, that's just, I don't think it's just rude. So please don't give. Just hang out here and enjoy the service. And I mean, it's okay, you can find out what Christians think about giving. That's handy to know. But, yeah, not you. Please don't give. next, if you're married to a non-Christian, be careful in this area. I know we're really blessed also with some people who've come to faith in Christ, they're in de facto relationships as well, and they're working on the marriage thing. But if you are married to or have a non-Christian spouse or partner, don't mention the word money and church in the same sentence. How to put someone off coming to Christian in one easy sentence. Money, church, put it in the same breath, you'll be sweet. You just wanted to, stop them coming. Because often that's what they sort of think, right? That their churches are after the money or something along those lines. So, yeah, I wouldn't mention that, right? That is, God is after their heart, not money. And you shouldn't feel any obligation to put pressure on a spouse, particularly if they're the breadwinner. So I'd be really, really careful in the area. That's just my take. I mean, it's up to you. You're under God, not my opinion. I'm just giving you my opinion for what it's worth. I wouldn't mention it. And three, if you're visiting, support your home church. It's great that you're here. Please don't give to us. Support your home churches. I know it makes the finance team, they'll probably go, no, Alistair, but I'm preaching, not them. So that's how it goes. They ask me to give, and I think if you're just rocking up here as a visitor, you should be supporting your home church. And so this should be a message in that context, because I just want to teach the Bible here. So this message really, in terms of the local, is for those who consider this church their own church. For those who've experienced spiritual abuse, in the area of giving, sort of those high precious sales. I am really, really sorry about that. I think it's quite dishonouring of the Lord, actually. And I just think it grieves me, actually, a lot. And that's partly why I don't really give sermons on giving, because of that abuse. And lastly, giving is not just about St. Andrews. Right, I know it would make the finance team super easy if you're super generous here and sparingly everywhere else. They'd be like, yay, maybe. But I'm like, no, giving is like holistic. It actually could be for missions, it could be in time. There's a whole host of things out there in the world. And St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church is one small part of what God is doing in the world. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So should be the giving. All right, so that's some disclaimers, just my take on it. Why do you work sometimes and others? I don't understand you. Yeah, you work now, but why? My relationship with this clicky device is just interesting. Anyway, so we looked this morning at how not to give from the text. So basically what I'll do is just unpack this Bible text and just let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And we're going to look at how not to give, and then we're going to have a look at how to give, and then we're going to look at the results of giving. Easy peasy. So first, how not to give. So do you know that you can give outwardly in a seemingly generous fashion, but it doesn't please God? That we could have this church overflowing in finance, the finance team saying, yay, revival's broken out, but the Holy Spirit would be grieved in the process. So it's true. So what are some ways that actually our giving can displease the Lord? Jesus gives some examples, and often that example is giving out loud. You know, so in a way that everyone knows, today I have given $1,000 to the church. Aren't I awesome? Oh, Alistair, you're so awesome, you've given $1,000. Jesus says, yeah, you've just given your reward. You've lost your eternal reward. Don't do that. Right, so here in this context, we notice that there are ways not to give. Firstly, it's not under compulsion. So here is external force, which could be blunt and direct. You must give to be part of our church. But often in New Zealand culture, it's those subtle mixed messages. Who's had those mixed messages? The giving is between you and God, but we really want your money. Right, so it's those subtle mixed messages that can come our way, or it's cultural pressure, or it could be manipulated through songs and all these things, and a message, and the preacher up the front, someone in my position, sort of putting on, it's not the Holy Spirit that's doing the work. It's a whole bunch of psychological stuff going under the background, and it's creating that compulsion to give. So it's a fine line here. If the Holy Spirit convicts you to be more generous, awesome. If he uses me to do it, I'm okay with that. But if it's actually under a sense of compulsion, that's bad. And it's actually how not to give. And the next is reluctantly. So there's the external stuff that goes on with external pressure to give, but then there's the internal one. So I confess I'm a bit of a miser, and I know this sounds really bad, but every time I give, I feel internal grief and pain at giving. Basically, the Bible's like, don't be like me, right? Don't give like that. It's sort of a sense of this, like, you know, who's giving money away but you don't really want to? Who's felt that? Only me! Well, you guys are awesome. Anyway, so the sense of pain, all right? The sense of, right, this pain. So let me give an analogy. So the church is called the bride of Christ, right? So we're not supposed to give under duty, we're supposed to give under devotion. I'm going to give an example. So the church here, we are the bride of Christ. You guys get that. You've heard that analogy from Scripture. So just imagine the couple being married. And as I'm a man, I'll give the husband as example. Before he's engaged to this girl and he's going to marry her, and he's starting to think, okay, what are the duties for me as a husband in this marriage? So he reads the Old Testament, he discovers he's supposed to provide food and clothing and accommodation, and because we've got children here, I'll use a very tactful term, conjugal rights to his wife. All right, he discovers those rights are replicated in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 7, Ephesians 5, and other passages. They are the duties of a husband. So he says, well, I'm going to do the bare minimum from the wedding day out of duty for the entire 75 years of marriage until they part through death. Duty is the word. Reluctance, cold is the things. What is going to be the result of that? It's going to be a starved, barren, loveless marriage that would grieve the wife, create untold emotional pain, or vice versa if a wife did that to her husband. Now here's the punchline. If we give to the Lord, whether in time or in finance, or in just even singing, out of duty, reluctance, compulsion, the bare minimum, it will grieve the Holy Spirit, because we, the church, are the bride of Christ. And the Lord is not after your wallet this morning. He's after your heart. He's not after duty from you this morning. He's after devotion. So there, our lives of the Lord is to have the affections of our heart changed. And this is what the Lord wants. And that changes everything. So there is a wrong way to give. And my prayer this morning is that your giving will not be from the wrong way. So there is also a right way to give. And this, the first is from your heart, right? This is a matter of the heart. So, you know, if it's a bit like me, I'd say something along the lines of, Lord, you know I'm a miser. But Lord, I want to have my heart overflow with love for you, that my giving comes from the heart, not from external force, not from compulsion, and not reluctantly. So Lord, change the affections of my heart. Duty is easy. Just do it, right? Just put the money in the plate or whatever other terms of giving. But love, a changed heart, this is completely different. It actually takes a miracle, God, to soften and change your heart. So God wants you to prayerfully decide on what you give, whether it's in the original context, the church in Corinth was giving this offering to Jerusalem, to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. That was the original context of the verse. So whether in that context, the Lord wants to challenge those Corinthians' hearts, you know, for them to think and pray over it, what to give for their offering, or in any other situation, including this morning, this is a matter not between me and you, but actually between the Lord and you. And it actually is of a changed heart that desires to give. So I would say the difference of this is of the giving from the heart is, I gave this analogy at the first service, and I think it's the best one I can come up with off the cuff, is the difference between paying a speeding fine and a fiance, a man buying his fiance an engagement ring. So I paid in the last year a speeding fine. Who's ever had to do that? You can pay online. I did so under compulsion and reluctantly. I did the giving the exact way I'm not supposed to, because I did not want to add to the government's consolidated account. So it grieved my heart to pay the government money. And it was under compulsion because I was told if I don't, there'll be fines and things. I didn't want that to happen, right? So that's compulsion and duty as a citizen of the country. But then imagine when I was engaged to Catherine, I just loved her so much and I wanted to spend lots of money on an engagement ring. It came, my heart was overflowed with love for Catherine. And I was keen and generous because I loved her. After I married her, I became a little bit less generous, but that's another story. Anyway, so the whole thing is it's a heart change, right? And this leads to being a cheerful giver. That when I got the engagement ring, I was cheerful, I was joyful, I wanted to do it. Right, and then I was generous. Right, so this is, now in the Old Testament, I think this is just handy because you got this, we're blessed with a hot church here where people are from all sorts of church backgrounds. And some of the church backgrounds you've come from, it's the whole 10% tithing. Who's been in a tithing 10% church? Anyone here? One or two? Yep, a few hands there. May I suggest there is no letter in the for the New Testament churches that tells you that you must give 10% of your income. Now, Jesus mentions it in the Gospels, but he's mentioning the Jewish context, and he doesn't describe it as the more weightier matters of the law. So you're under no command or duty to give St. Andrew's 10% of your income. You need to know that. However, may I suggest to you that if you have a heart that's softened and generous, that's moved, and you're a cheerful giver, will you give more or less than what you'd give if you're giving duty? You tend to give more. Now, I'm not telling you should give more than 10% or less than 10%. I actually don't care about that. It's a matter of the heart, not for me to tell you. But the duty is one level. You just give what you're compelled to give. But a heart that's moved by love of God, completely different on what you'll give. So what is the result of this? All right, the first thing is that it enlarges the harvest of your righteousness. There's an eternal reward for giving. Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. Right? That's what Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is giving. It's between you and the Lord. Right? So this is actually what we do here that's eternal. We'll have an eternal significance. And what we should be aiming to do as Christians is aim our lives to be orientated about what we can do for Christ. Not just obviously in the area of money, but in every area. And then also, the other result of giving is it results in thanksgiving to God. So in the original context, I imagine their offering as it arrived in Jerusalem to help the poor Christians out in Jerusalem, they would have gone, oh my goodness, Christians around the world have given us this money. God is so awesome, right? That would have been thanksgiving. So when we give our lives off to the Lord, and His name will be glorified. Which is why you should not give under compulsion. You should not give reluctantly. God is not after your wallet. That will not bring thanksgiving to God when you come in. If you don't get that example of a marriage, you can imagine a husband just giving duty. The wife is not going to go say thank you because it's given from a cold heart, right? The Lord is after an overflow of our love. And when we give from the heart that's generous, that's spirit-directed, it will bring thanksgiving to God. And lastly, that we're actually enriched. And so there's a sense there, I don't think it's necessarily financially enriched, but there's context that could include that. That as we give to God, He will bless us, and so that we can give back to God again. Catherine and I were dating, I'm not suggesting you should do this, but this is what Catherine and I had done when we were young and foolish Christians. We're running low on money, and so Catherine said to me something really silly. She said, "We should give all the rest of our money away to God and see what God does." I was like, "No, I don't want to do that." All right, because I'm a miser and I'm saving anyway. But I was like, I felt convicted. Oh, you know, and I'm not saying I had to. It was always a bit of compulsion and duty going on because I love Catherine. But I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. We'll see what happens. Well, I had to say that in those next few weeks, Catherine and I were flooded with work. I'm not saying that would happen to you. I'm not saying it's a guaranteed thing. But I'll just say that I do remember it. It was quite compelling. All this work flooded and we had as much work as we wanted. And the Lord provided our needs. And so I would say this, that if your heart is giving, you know, you've prayed about it with the Lord, it's from the heart, not duty, not compulsion, there's a generosity that's with it, and it's spirit-directed, the Lord will return to you the things that you actually need to survive in this world. And so I might say this morning, wherever you're at with Jesus, if you're a spiritual seeker this morning, please don't give. The Lord Jesus is after your heart. It's just great you're here this morning. But you've got to find out how Christians should give, and that's handy to know, I guess, if you're wanting to figure out the Christian faith. If you're visiting this morning, think about your home churches and where you go out, you can support them. If you've got a non-Christian spouse, be careful in the area of giving. Don't make a stumbling block to the person you're wanting to reach with Christ. The Lord is after your spouse, not your money. Certainly we are after seeing the Lord honored. But if this is your church and you love Jesus, then I don't want anything I've said this morning to create compulsion on you or to create internal grief when you give, but the Lord is after our hearts. What sort of marriage do you have with Jesus? We are the bride of Christ. He wants our hearts, not our wallets, our devotion, not our duty. Though like in marriage, we do have duties under God to fulfill to God, but it's to be done generously, cheerfully, overflowing from a heart that loves our Lord, not under compulsion. And not reluctantly. And there is my first message on giving in 20 years. And unfortunately, Romans means I've got another passage next year because it's coming up in the Romans passage. But let's pray. Gracious Lord, we do thank you for your word. And I pray that, Lord God, that you would be honored today through this message. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, that if there's anyone who's been felt spiritual abuse in the area of giving, has been abused by a faith community or a church, that you would break the shackles of that abuse off. But Lord, I pray that what we decide of our whole lives to give to you would be done in accordance with your spirit from a right heart that would result in a harvest of righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen.